Good morning, this is Cohen Meander. I'm Jason Nemro. Oh, and I'm laying in bed. I used to make these kinds of recordings a lot when I was on the... Well, not a lot, but when I was on the boat, you know, the morning and night. This is about as close to the boat as I get these days. I'm in a motel room, another city, doing my job, but it's Sunday morning. And what is the appropriate thing to do on a Sunday morning? The important thing to do is to think about religious questions. And you know that I do that quite often. So it isn't just a Sunday activity for me. I often do it during the week. In the last couple of weeks, before I started this traveling, I had been thinking about standards. I don't know how people really think of them, you know? I talk a lot about goals and meeting goals, and that's fine, you know? You set a goal for something. Let's say exaltation. You set a goal for it, and you go, So what am I supposed to do to get there? And you break it into little bitty pieces. And then, you know, you say, well, as soon as I've done all the little bitty pieces, I will have exaltation. And that's an interesting way to look at it. And, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, check marks. Did I do this? Did I do that? Did I make all this stuff happen? And, thinking about standards, I seem to recall somebody talked about standards way back in the past, a general authority or an apostle or something like that. I don't remember anything about it except the fact that they said, well, it's just, you know, the word standard was used, and I frankly don't remember it very well. Anyway, so I started thinking about my own background, and this is something I also heard before. So you'll go, wait, I remember somebody talking about this, and it wasn't me, and that's fine. I was a really bad basketball player. I'm sure somebody would have said, well, you just didn't really apply yourself to it. And that's probably true. A lot of people thought I should naturally be good at basketball because I was tall and at times I was lanky. I struggle. I'm kind of up and down. I'm not so much fat anymore, but I don't get skinny very often either. Anyway. So I wasn't a very good basketball player, and this was, I was at a school where there was only two basic pastimes, hunting and basketball, and so everybody got good at both of them. And I'm not a hunter, so I never got into it, you know. Didn't go out and get the bloodlust, I suppose, but. There was something about basketball that I noticed. No matter how old you were, no matter what your skill level was, the rim of the basketball, I don't know what you call it, the rim of the backboard, it's, I don't know if you call it the goal or whatever, is always the same height. It's always 10 feet tall. And there were no little kiddie basketball rims that were placed shorter. At least I never ran into one. So that means even when you were a little guy, young, and you didn't have much, you know, you didn't have much control over the ball, the goal was just as high as it was for, you know, an NBA professional basketball player that made millions of dollars. It was the same height. And that's kind of my definition of the standard. So many people today want there to be different standards for different situations. You know, I'm a girl, it should be lower, or you know, I've got this or this problem, so the standard should be lower. I should be able to have a form of basketball where the rim's only 5 feet tall and I can easily dunk the ball every single time. You know, it's just not fair that some of these guys are like 7'2", 7'2" tall, and that they can just with a short little leap, you know, get to that rim. And if they can get to the rim, they can put the ball in it because they can just stuff it in, right? But that's just life. People, see, and I'm one of the worst for wanting some kind of an exemption. Can't I have this with less effort? Can't I have that? Not have to hit that 10-foot rim, figuratively. But exaltation is. It's not like if you don't hit it, you're going to be punished. You know, God's gifts, the rewards that God offers, they're not punishments. They're different places to aspire to. Or not, you know. I think getting to the celestial kingdom isn't really an aspiration. You know, it's just kind of where you fall to if you're not really trying for anything. If you're just living to live. Anyway, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about trying to get to the celestial kingdom, which is the presence of God. You get to be in His presence. The other places, God doesn't go there. So you'll never be in His presence. Christ comes and visits the terrestrial kingdom, and only the Spirit goes to the celestial. That's as close to the Father as you're ever going to get. You know, all these, I know I've talked poorly of the little primary songs. And all that I must do to live with Him someday, which is good. That's the right way to say it. There's too many people saying, oh, I just want to get back to Heavenly Father. And I tell them, I said, there's no going back. It's interesting. I have to go through there. They call it a turnstile. Some places it's called a man trap in some places, but it's not rigged that way. It's just one way. You can go forward, you know, you put your card there and it senses it and then it lets you go forward. But you can't go back that way. So, and that's like life. You're going forward. There is no going back to nothing. It's not like Heavenly Father has had a seal put around your childhood bedroom with all the stuff that makes you feel really comfortable and really good. And someday you'll come back, they'll unseal that door, and you can have your old bedroom back. And oh, you know, it's like people think about those warm, fuzzy feelings of going back to like their childhood home, and hopefully most of those stories end up really saying that you can't do that, because that's true. You can't do that. You can only move forward. Forward is where you're going. You can never return to being, you know, the pre-earth life child of Heavenly Father. It's just, won't be that person ever again. So I hope when you, if you sing a song that says, you know, going back to my heavenly home, I said, no, you won't. You're never going back to that heavenly home. That's gone. It's been let out to somebody else who's at that level. You've gone past it. It's like driving past a house that you lived in when you were a little kid. It's not your house. You're not going to live there ever again. It now belongs to somebody else for a time. And you should look at things that way. So you always have to be looking for going forward and the whole thing. And I like to put this into the frame of a standard, because if you want exaltation, and I'm not saying a lot of people do, it really has to be kind of what you want to do. To be honest, I didn't care enough about basketball to really put in the effort needed to be really good at it. I'm not good at basketball. And of course, that rim stays at exactly the same height. It's still 10 feet tall. And that means that since I haven't practiced and since I haven't gone through the effort anymore, then I'm not that good at basketball anymore. You know, I never went through the effort to try to make that happen. So that's emblematic of exaltation. Exaltation is something you have to pursue on a regular basis until you get good at it. You know, now this is all a figurative thing. You know, it's not like playing basketball, but that standard doesn't change. What you have to do to qualify for exaltation is the same for everyone. It's the same for everyone. And you don't get some kind of an exemption because you got a gimpy hand or you've got, you know, lousy basketball shoes or something like that. You know, some excuse you can make for saying, this is why I wasn't good at basketball, was because I didn't have the right shoes. The standard's still there. Christ has gone through a lot of effort and pain to make it so that any inherent problems that you have that could keep you from exaltation, they're not there anymore. You can overcome everything. So in that way, I guess it's kind of not like a basketball goal, but I think it's good to think of it that way. Because then you're not sitting there saying, you know, if we could just adjust this down to where it's like 7 feet instead of 10 feet, this would make it a lot easier for me. And isn't that what God would do to say, oh, I feel so bad for you. Let me lower the backboard for you so that it'll be easier. And a person like you can accomplish exaltation with, I don't know, less effort, less desire, less work, you know, and you can just easily make that goal. I think too many people think of it that way. I can, you know, God's gonna lower that basketball rim for me. And it's like, no, he's not gonna. What's there? He's done all the things that make it possible for you to attain exaltation. Christ took care of the fact that you're going to sin, make mistakes, things like that. You have repentance available to you, but you have to repent, you know. And he's made it so that your impending death, your mortal death, is not going to be an impediment either. You will be resurrected. You will live on, which is something that is part of the standard of exaltation. Anyway, so I don't know how much more I really have to say about that. It's not, as far as I'm aware of, it's not a deep concept. You just have to sit there and say, like basketball, if you want to play the game, you've got to understand that some things are standards and some things don't change. The height of the rim is the same, no matter if you're playing in the parking lot, or if you're playing in the amazing professional stadium. The standard's the same. So you don't have the excuse of saying, well, I didn't get access to that wonderful stadium. You know, the goal put up in your driveway, as long as they set it to 10 feet, is just as good. And whatever skill and ability and effort you put into being a success with that standard, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you have a flashy jersey or not. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you were born really, really tall or really, really athletic. It doesn't matter. You can do it anywhere. Of course, you need help along the way. You need, you know. Christ has offered this to you. Right there. Everything that's needed is right there. And I think that's what I think general authorities, apostles, and such are trying to put across, is that there is nothing stopping you from doing this, but you have to meet that standard. And it isn't so much, there is a behavioral component to it, but there's certain things that you need to do if you want exaltation. You know, it's like, you know what, I need to get married. I need to get married to somebody who's willing to go that distance and you go that distance together, a man and a woman together, you know, and have children. If it's within you to do it, there's no rule saying that you must have children or you can't do it, but it certainly makes reaching that standard so much better. We have so much. It's really interesting. As I've read the scriptures lately, I have seen what a lot, what they won't teach you. Greg Madsen, he's got a podcast, Quick Media. I don't know how else he does it. I don't know what else he calls it, but talks a lot about teddy bear Jesus, and I used to talk about a concept called lazy Jesus, which is that Jesus really doesn't care about, you know, he's busy watching a television show, and you come in and he just waves at you, you know. It's kind of like having the magic wand and saying, ding, you're fine, go on. And that's a wrong concept of Jesus. He was an active participant in getting you to do this. And we need to be grateful for that. Now, whether he's still doing his job at the moment, I don't know. You know, we know he has overcome sin and death. He's given us the opportunity. I guess that's better. He's given us the opportunity to overcome sin. He overcame death for us. Now, for all I know, he is resting from what happened. And Heavenly Father is engaged. The Spirit. The Spirit is a big person right now. Have you seen Jesus lately? Personally? No. Now it's mostly the Spirit helping you along. The church is kind of the instrumentality that Jesus has set up to help you get to the highest that you desire to go. And I don't mean desire as I just want it. What you're willing to put forth effort to accomplish. That really ends up being the most important thing. But, you know, I guess I'm going off in the place I don't want to go. I don't know, I'm going to the weeds. I don't need to go there. If you look at who you want to be, it isn't a place. You know, people say, oh yes, I'm going to go to the celestial kingdom, like it's a place and you have to somehow jigger your way into it. You know, people talk about the pearly gates and you having a fight with St. Peter to try to sneaky let you in, even if you may not deserve it or not, or whatever, you know, that it's, you know, I'm going to get a pole and I'm going to pole vault that gate and I am going to be in heaven. And you're going, it isn't a place. It's a standard. If you don't live up to the standard, you're not, it's just not going to be you. I know we think of places because we think of these planets, you know. It says, well, that's a telestial world, and this is a terrestrial world, this is a celestial world. And I imagine that's true. The most important thing is not whether you can get to such places. It's whether you're going to be happy there. You're going to be able to meet that standard. It becomes, you know, some of the trickiest moments in my life is when I'm sitting there. I've like, okay, I get a new job. I do this often, so I have some experience at this. I have a new job, and you're kind of trying to get a sense for it. It's a little tricky because it's probably a little bit more and bigger than jobs you've had before. And your biggest thing is, you know, and for a person like me, it's like, oh, guy, these people are so much smarter than I am, more capable. I hope I can, you know, I hope I can meet this standard. And that's what it is, you know, it's like, I'm not one of these people. Either I've got to rise up to this level, or I've got to, you know, or I've got to find, you know, or I've got to get a different job. And occasionally I have. I've just left a job because it's like, I don't think I can ever meet this standard. So you go and you do something else instead. And, you know, you can beat yourself up all you want to and say, well, you know, why wasn't I getting more help to help me get to this level? Why wasn't I doing this and doing that? But mostly it was me just saying, you know, I don't think I can do this. Some jobs they'll try to help you. In other jobs they'll just say, you know what? If you don't think you can do it, don't do it. Go do something else instead. And, you know, you kind of look at athletic coaches and some athletic coaches are development sorts and others are the guys that just go, you know what? You're right. If you don't think you can do this, you're right. You can't do this. So go and do something else. Instead of playing basketball, go, I don't know, go take your chance at billiards, you know. See if you can figure out what you're suited for, I guess. Except to say that for exaltation, everybody's suited for exaltation. You've got all the stuff that's required to be exalted. There is no club-footed exaltation players. It's not like, well, you got a club foot, you can't play basketball. You know, it's not like that. You can make it to exaltation. Christ made it so that he leveled that playing field. Not that you can just make it easily, although it might seem that way for some. You know, you get those really tall, lanky basketball players, and you go, oh, basketball must be so easy for them. And you go, yeah, they really do make it look that way. And it may very well be. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, no, it's just as hard for them. I don't know that. Maybe they're a natural. And you go, well, you know, if somebody's naturally really going to, you know, really well suited for exaltation, hey, good for them. You know, but that's okay. There's you, and there's the standard that you have to meet. There's that 10-foot rim if you want to really be exalted. The things that you need to do. I don't know anything beyond keeping the commandments, getting married, having children, going through that style. And so many people say, well, I'm not going to do that today. You know, it was easier for my grandparents and my great-grandparents to just, you know, get themselves married and do that and no matter what reason there was that they married and had children, they were all capable of doing it. I saw it, boy, I sometimes look at these old early pictures, and these people are ugly. They look hard bitten. And it's like, you know, and people think today, well, I'm not handsome enough to get married. I can't attract a girl and I can't do that. And you just kind of look at them and you go, I'm sorry, here, let me show you a picture of your great grandparents when they were young. And you know what? Some of them may have been beautiful, but the majority of them aren't. They weren't. They just knew that marriage and family was, back then it was really something that everybody did. If you didn't get married, if you didn't pull that together, you were, you know, nobody thought much of spinsters, and adult males that weren't married were pariahs. And you go, and there's something to be said for that kind of talk about it, was that, you know, you had to get married. For a decent person, a good person, had some attributes that were good. You would go to church, and that's primarily where you found your spouse, was at church, because, you know, you went to a church that reflected your outlook, hopefully, or at least a standard that you were trying to meet. And, you know, they just kind of supposed that you had the same standard they did. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't, you know, was there abuse going on? Yes, but there's abuse going on now. It's not like we found some wonderful way to avoid this. And people lived, and people tried, and people failed, and but they gave it. They got married, and many of them had the vast majority had children. You know, I'm happy that they did it, even under really difficult circumstances and taking chances, taking risks. That's really probably the biggest thing. And I don't know how much that figures into the standard of exaltation, but the whole idea of you're one heck of a risk taker. You know, you're actually melding your life with someone else's. And hopefully that works out well. And I had some wonderful examples of my progenitors that I knew, you know, and they weren't amazing people particularly, but marriage was a big deal, and loyalty to your spouse was a big deal, and trying to going to raise up good, your children up to good adults that would take those kinds of risks again, you know, much, much bigger than business risks, gracious, is that big risk of getting married and putting yourself on the line and, you know, you don't necessarily have to marry a 10 or an 8, you know, that scale of how beautiful a person is. It says you don't have to marry anybody like that. You can marry other, you know, like I said, look at those pictures and you go, oh my gosh. He was kind of a dull looking fella, and she is, you know, she would be hard pressed to get a date today. You know, swipe right, you know, whatever you do to tell people that you reject them because they're not, you know, svelte and look like a model. And you work together, however you're working, you know. I think the scriptures don't talk about occupations at all. I've never seen any of them. It mostly has to do with working through the trials of life. You see quite a bit in the scriptures of the travails of women trying to have children. And how, you know, and how important that tends to be. And so I hope you don't think too much about whatever your current occupation is. I mean, you have to have one to get the things you need, food and clothing, shelter, stuff like that. I'm sorry, you know, it says, and when people say, well, you know, this shouldn't be something that's just tied to marriage and family. And you go, well, that's what exaltation is. It is the continuation of that activity. To be honest, that's what it's all about. I always worry, you know, because people, you know, because some general authorities say nothing will be kept from the righteous, and you're going, you know, this is, you know, but you've got to meet a standard. You've got to take the risk. You've got to take the plunge, and you've got to do that battle. You know, it doesn't matter, I guess, if you're a single chief executive officer of a big corporation and you know, and you have a lot of decisions to make and stuff like that in a corporation, it says, you know what, those things aren't comparable to family, to marriage and family, just aren't comparable. And it's like, you know, this is, you will get every blessing that you qualify for. And that, and somehow, you know, like single women have taken great solace in that. But to be honest, I don't know if that includes, I don't think it includes exaltation. You know? Have to work out your exaltation together when there's not another person you're working through it together with. It's just, so yeah, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into these weeds. I want to keep talking about standards. So think of it as a standard to be met, not as something for which you can claim several exemptions and somehow slip through a crack in the pearly gates, and all of a sudden you'll be part of the God training program. Somehow you will slip in. I don't know about that. It's really kind of difficult to think, because we don't often say what's different between getting to the celestial kingdom, which is basically being baptized and living up to those covenants that you made at baptism. That's your ticket to the celestial kingdom. Although you may end up being the part-time street sweeper of, I don't know if there's dust up there, but you know, I always look back at that TV show Downton Abbey, and I would start trying to explain this as if this would help people understand stuff, but then I find out that the vast majority of people that I interact with, like at church, for instance, have never seen Downton Abbey. It's just not in their you know, they didn't watch it, therefore they don't have a concept of it. And it's like, well, you're going to be with God. You're going to see God the Father in the celestial kingdom. You know, he will come occasionally. You know, he's a very busy guy. He's got things to do. He says, but, you know, are you going to be like him? No. You know, I guess it's kind of like being a temple worker. Lisa used to be a cleaner at the temple. She would go in and she would clean. And she was really good. She would find dirt that nobody else could find, because she had a very high standard of cleanliness at the Oklahoma City Temple. In fact, she kind of stumbled on to the fact that there was mold at the temple. And let me tell you, they apparently, I don't know if she was the only trigger, but she was certainly one of them, that had them shut down many of the temples and do mold abatement, especially in places that weren't very dry. You know, Utah is quite dry, so you don't have particular mold problems. Anyway, so, you know, and you're going, but is that exaltation? And you're going, I don't know. That probably isn't. That just means that you're going to be a really good temple cleaner, and you're going to have a job cleaning temples or something akin to that in the celestial kingdom. And you go, But does that mean that you're going to be a creator like God is? And you go, no. So it really is, you know. And so if you're going to make it to exaltation or to one of the lower levels of the celestial kingdom or the terrestrial or the telestial kingdoms, it says these are standard based things. What standard were you trying to meet? And if you've only thought that a lower standard was adequate for you, that's probably only as far as you're going to go. It's not like you're all of a sudden going to get something fantastic. When you said, I didn't even know about that standard. I didn't keep that standard. Oh, I don't know if that clears things up just a little bit, you know, for people. When the prophet says, think celestial, on some level, he's talking about having a standard. And if you come up with your own standards, you're going to come up with, you know, you're probably not going to meet God's standard. As much as God's standard becomes your own, then you are making progress toward exaltation. And if you continue along that vein, I think you'll make it. I think you'll make it. Then it really becomes a place that as you're on the path, you can make it to. And so many people think, well, I'm on the path, and you're going, are you sure? Have you made your standard this high? Have you done this? Or are you just going to say, oh no, you know, I says, my only desire is to have a 9-to-5 job, and then after I get home at night, I play, I go take it easy, I go do things like that. Instead of making marriage and family the very essence of godhood, part of your standard. That's the most important thing. I have always told people that I kind of fell into marriage and family because that was just what people did. Thank goodness that was the standard, the expectation for the society that I grew up in. Because that means I am building the attributes that I need for exaltation. It says, but if you never get around to marriage and family, you know, they go, well, it just couldn't happen for them. And you go, you know what? Like I said, I have looked at those old pictures. If you think you're not cute enough, or you think you've, you know, you got scraggly teeth and stuff, boy, you haven't been looking at old pictures of couples or their kids and how it went. And you go, there was not a view of them that was desirable. You know, I think it was just pairing off, you know. Well, let's put these two kids together. Let's see how that works out. You know, they seem somewhat compatible. I think that's kind of how it went back in the old days. You could appeal to the community, and I think you basically did. And the community said, well, these two people need to get together, and we'll marry them, and we'll set them on their way. And that was a good thing. I think this whole thing about saying, oh no, you know, there's only going to be a percentage of people who look good or whatever attributes are the most important thing today for marriage, that there's only a few people that are going to be able to meet that standard. All the rest of them are just going to have to figure out how to like live single lives. And you go, that's no, we've made a huge mistake there. We should have never done that. Regardless. So I want to leave it at that. This is Jason Nemro. You've been listening to Cohen Meander. And this is another one about standards, because I think it's really becoming important. So I will leave you with the priestly blessing. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.